Hi, this is Jerry Eliff. I play Tiffany Teagarden on Twisted Pulp Radio Hour. Please support your local community radio station. Without you as listeners, we couldn't air our show on KKRN 88.5 FM. Thank you.
Mutual of Audio's Sonic Kingdom. Presented to you by the Mutual Audio Network. The network where we can all listen and imagine together.
Hi, I'm Perky Marlins. And welcome back to Mutual of Audio's Sonic Kingdom. Last week, we traveled to the wilds of Audio Island, which is in the western edge of that place some call the Bermuda Triangle. We went there to check on the progress of an audio drama producer who we have re-educated into the aspects of surviving in the wilds of the audio podverse. This wild creature, who Jim has named Bobo, has been used by society as a data entry clerk, a bartender, a project manager, an exotic dancer, and a biomedical research subject. The Mutual Audio Network's re-education project gives our young friend an opportunity for a productive life in Bobo's natural environment as an audio drama or comedy producer. The rehabilitation of this magnificent, wild, and creative animal includes a chance to reach a wider range of distribution and the extra exposure that brings, along with free production resources and the potential to make some money. Bobo has been hard at work on a first masterpiece, and right now, we can see Jim giving Bobo some feedback on the final mix.
That's pretty good, Bobo. I'm just not sure about the choice of background music. It seems to be a bit too... Bobo, no! No, I'm sorry, Bobo! No, don't hurt me, Bobo!
Artists, sometimes they can get a bit touchy. Well, Jim knew the job was dangerous when he took it. Join us next week as Mutual of Audio's Sonic Kingdom will visit a pack of voice actors living in the hidden valleys of darkest Nova Scotia. For more information about the Mutual Audio Network, go to mutualaudionetwork.com or inquire at mutualaudio@gmail.com.
Warning, this material is for mature audiences. This is the Twisted Pulp Radio Hour.
The Ninth Tower Productions.
Not care.
But you like this.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
Gah! Why?
Why do fools fall in love? To make babies, my mama said.
What the?
the hell are you talking about?
Doctor, darling, calm down. Your blood pressure, remember?
What are you talking about?
Oh, that's right. Hell Day is here. Yay!
No. Hell Day? That means...
Chester will be here. Oh, goody. Chester's a rock star.
No! No, not Chester! No, not Chester! No, not Chester!
Oh, you... You're afraid of Chester.
I am not. I just don't like him.
Well, I like Chester. He's such a nice old man. He always helps me dry off after a shower.
He always came every Hell Day. And Daddy used to make me go to the bad boy closet after I'd set fire to the townspeople's cottages. There Chester would be, in the dark closet, playing the squid game.
Did somebody say squid?
Yay, Chester!
No! Oh, God, stay away!
Have you ever spilled hot gravy all over yourself? It don't feel too good, do it, huh?
Gravy! That's funny!
You ever have to ride the bus and sit on a greasy old man's lap because there's no seats?
Well, not just because there were no seats.
Tonight's program has two shows in one. That's right. Y'all don't gotta sneak into the XXX movie theater tonight. It's got two shows for free, baby. One is a production by audio drama Zen master Jack Ward. The other is a reading of Evangelina Giles' story by Mark Slade. Narrated by the queen bee of narrators herself, Jerry Eliff. Hey, here's a commercial for a place I know real well. Eyes get kicks out of there when I whisper sweet nothings into the air vents.
Welcome to the Love Pavilion. We have the best sex simulators, stinger stimulators, and feather clouds made from the best ostrich fat. Plug in, plug out, or just plug it up. Party with the prettiest, most handsome, or ugliest synthetic humans in the city. So real it feels like real flesh. So good it's a sin.
Oh, Doctor, where are you?
No more squid play, you son of a bitch! Now who's smearing mayonnaise on whose butt? Oh, damn! And I really like this, Tiffany, too! I suppose I'll have to reclone you.
Wait until he sits on the commode and finds out I'm already sitting there.
Brace yourself. You're listening. Twisted Pulp Radio Hour.
The following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
A deadline.
Mrs. Wilkes. I brought in your breakfast tray, Mrs. Wilkes. How are you feeling today? Oh, it's a beautiful day out there. Same as yesterday. Same as tomorrow. Oh, I love your view. You can even see Mrs. McTavish's garden. You remember Mrs. McTavish, right? She came to visit you yesterday. Let me roll that down a little and bring you up some more. Mrs. Wilkes, you moved your arm. Oh, that's wonderful. See? Now, you're getting better every day. Would you like some eggs? No? Really? It's delicious. You should try some. Sausage is good, too. You know, you really get your money's worth from the kitchen here. Want some? No? Okay. Well, you insist. It has been a long night. I really couldn't begin to imagine what it's like. Well, I, for one, look forward to our time together. Because at home, you know, Charlie always says I talk too much. But you never say that. I really appreciate it. What was I saying now? Oh, right. It's been, what, 6 months since the stroke? And Foxwood is the best retirement community money can buy. Do you know how hard it is just to work in a place like this? Huh. Of course you don't. You never worked a day in your life, did you, Mrs. Wilkes? You would have considered it, what, beneath yourself? What? Are you talking?
Pedestrian.
That's amazing, Mrs. Wilkes. Do you want me to call someone? You're talking. Are you walking on the street?
No, dear. Pedestrian, that's what I would have thought.
Thought?
Yes. You're right. I would have... I do find it pedestrian.
This is amazing. I'll go get the doctor.
No. Finish your breakfast first. You've earned it.
Oh, but I'm not hungry.
Really? You've eaten most of it now. I couldn't eat anything before noon. Finish the orange juice at least. I hate waste. And you've been such a dear watching over me.
I really couldn't.
Drink the orange juice.
All right. And then I should call the desk nurse, at least.
Thank you. Don't worry. I've still got my emergency button right here, and I can press it just fine to get Marjorie.
You're speaking so well. This is amazing.
I've been talking for some time now, dear.
But no one said.
About a month now. I practice when no one is around. I don't want to be babbling like an idiot around others. I suppose that's the sin of pride, isn't it, dear?
I'm just happy that you're feeling so much better.
Are you?
Well, of course. Why wouldn't I be?
Harder to steal from someone who's not infirmed.
What?
A stroke isn't Alzheimer's. I see you well enough.
Oh, but I...
Shh! Don't worry. I won't say anything.
But...
No, I promise. I mean, you've come in with that thug of a boyfriend. Who would believe an old woman recovering from a stroke, anyway?
Well, I never meant...
Of course not. Who would have thought I'd recover, anyway? Can't take it with me now, can I, Nan?
No, you can't.
But did you have to take my wedding ring, dear? I know my fingers were too swollen to wear it, but don't you think that was a bit much?
I'm sorry.
Eating my meals once in a while, leaving me a little too long in the tub. Not long enough to be negligent, but maybe just long enough. That's all perfectly understandable. I mean, what do they pay you anyway?
I don't feel well.
Sit down then, dear. I don't mind keeping you company for a bit. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Trained myself to talk again. Did you know that all this money was mine? Not my late husband's. Not Sam's. Dear soul, didn't have the head for business.
I'd
never let someone steal from me then. And it was so hard to see you steal from me. Now, you know what age gives that youth does not, Nan?
Please.
Patience, dear. See, youth worships at its own altar. I guess that's your sin of pride, isn't it? We're all proud. But, dear Nan, age has so many hidden benefits, like planning and patience. I know you can hear me, Nan, although your heart's stopped. I know a little about the medicines I take. So quietly, I've been grinding up my cardiotonics. Yes. One look from your eyes, and I know you know. Orange juice hides a whole lot, and when you opened my curtains, I knew I had my chance. Overdose of cardiotonics won't leave a trace. Sometimes a 40-something woman can have a heart attack. It just happens. I mean, what were my options if I told someone? You'd simply find some way to finish me yourself. But I couldn't let you steal from me, could I? Oh, of course. I should call for the night nurse now. Maybe I'll start talking next week. You know how precious life is. A shock like this could be just what I needed. Just what I needed.
Fiend of the Old starred Sheila Newell as Nan and Sheila Morrison as Mrs. Wilkes. This Deadline episode was written, directed, and post-produced by Jack J. Ward. Music composed and performed by Sharon B. This episode was recorded at the Sonic Temple in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in association with the Center of Arts and Technology. The Deadline Anthology is an Electric Vicuna production. This has been an Electric Vicuna production.
Hey, This is Tiffany Teagarden. You're listening to Twisted Pulp Radio Hour on listener-supported KKRN Community Radio, 88.5 FM. Thank you for tuning in.
Little Timmy's Rampage is the award-winning children's book. Follow Timmy's journey from sickness...
No, Timmy, don't kill me!
...as he finds faith...
Oh, Satan, I give you my soul!
...to sickness again.
Timmy and Tammy, please have mercy!
There is no mercy in the world.
Get your copy today.
Thank you. Bigfoot Blues by Mark Slade. A tall, pale man in a black trench coat and black crumpled fedora looked down at the park bench and saw the book with a discolored cover lying there, unattended. It was open to a certain page. A pen looked like it had rolled to the right, almost fallen off the bench. The man picked up the book, then realized it was a diary. He cradled the book in both hands, turned the pages gingerly, and found the beginning of the diary entry for that day. He briefly folded the book over a hand to read the words on the cover. The man read aloud, "Diary of one Evelina Giles, witch." His brow narrowed, and the man pursed his lips. Dear me, isn't that something? A witch in a college town like Augusta, Virginia. I shouldn't be surprised. Augusta University has some strange characters. Underneath those lines, it read, "Anyone who reads this diary may become..." The last written line was not legible. It was covered by a smudge. The man shrugged. He looked around to see if anyone, possibly the owner, was around. When he discovered the coast was clear, he decided to sit on the bench and read the diary. Why not, he told himself. Why not sit and enjoy the rest of the day? It had stopped raining. He'd finished work at the office early and was on his way home. He had the rest of the day to himself. Laura was off visiting her sister for the night. It turned into a rather lovely spring day. So why not sit here and read a bit? I might get a laugh out of this, he said. After all, the man snickered. Anyone who calls themselves a practicing witch in this time and day and records it in a diary cannot be legit. He snickered again. Can they? The man asked the chirping birds in a tree above him. When they didn't answer, the man just shrugged and began to read the diary. March 22nd. I was asleep at my desk when the bells on my shop door chimed. I awoke quickly, raised my head up. I removed strands of my brown hair from my lips and cheek and tried to smile. Through blurry eyes, I saw an elderly woman with curly gray hair standing over top of me. She was in a blue dress that looked like her Sunday best and flat square shoes that probably prevented pain in the balls of her feet. But someone should have told the old woman her stockings were hanging down at her knees. "What are you going to do about this?" the old woman said. She removed a giant chicken foot from a plastic bag and dropped it on my desk. It landed with a bang and I jumped 3 feet in the air. "Well," I touched it slightly with a finger, "what would you like me to do?" I pushed the chicken foot away from me in disgust. I am not really in the mood for chicken soup. Mungo, my 6'5" assistant, appeared in the doorway of my office watching over the meeting. He had his usual sour look on his scarred face, keeping a close eye on that old woman. You never know who or what she really was, especially walking into my office carrying a chicken foot. "I want you to do whatever it takes to destroy this thing that is bringing me bad luck," the old woman said in a huff. She sat in an old rickety chair I keep forgetting to throw away. "Why don't you just throw it away?" I asked. "I do." The old woman used her hands to illustrate wrapping it up and tossing it away. "But it keeps coming back." At that point, she noticed Mungo was in the threshold, lurking. The old woman stifled a scream with a hand. Oh, my God, she closed her eyes and fanned herself. What in the world is he? He's Mungo, I said, my assistant. And you are? Lana Rupert. Okay, Miss Rupert, what can I do for you? I asked as pleasantly as I could, for being woken from my afternoon nap. Actually, I was cranky as hell. I felt my period coming on. Call me Lana. Okay, Lana, I said sarcastically, what can I do for you? You are a witch? I nodded. I want you to destroy that thing then, Lana pointed at the chicken foot. Miss Lana, how is this chicken foot bringing you bad luck? Sometimes people believe... No! Lana beat her fist on my desk. It was surprising because she didn't look like she had enough energy to point a finger. My husband used to say silly things like what you were going to say. Regardless of whether it was in my mind or not, I want my normal life back. Okay, I said. Where is Jack? Is he at home? Yes, she said. I have him in a vase sitting on my mantle above the TV. Lana illustrated the statement with her hands. Jack used to say I was too flighty, a little nutty. I admit in the 70s I followed whatever spiritual trend came along. I even joined a group that thought David Brenner was a god that fell from the vortex. I learned my lesson. What lesson was that? Not to follow anyone. No religion can make me happy. Only I can make me happy, Lana said. Only what, Lana? I cocked my head to one side. No one should delve into voodoo. I agree with her on that. What kind of bad luck are you experiencing? A few days ago, I was stuck in the bathroom. My bathroom would not open. The heat can make a door expand, or in the middle of winter, Miss Giles? Lana held up her hand. I stopped talking. The weather has been very gloomy. The high has been 31 at the most. Yeah, I nodded. I suppose so. What else? I nearly choked to death on spaghetti. Lana thought a second, then blurted out. I tripped on the stairs. See? She held up her arm to show a very bad bruise, which had now become purple just at the elbow. Oh, my Biffy is sick. What's a Biffy? My eyes shifted to Mungo, who was giving me the signal that he should make a special cup of tea for Lana to see if she was telling the truth. I nodded to him, and Mungo disappeared. That's my dog, of course, Lana cried out. She took a photo of a light brown Pomeranian from a purse and showed it to me. Of course, I said, rolled my eyes. What's wrong with your doggy, lady? He gets sick when the sun goes down. It's the darndest thing, only when the sun goes down. In the daytime, he's fine. A sick how? I inquired. Well, vomiting, shaking all over, glassy-eyed, walks into walls. Like, well, he's stunned or something. Lana sighed, pleaded with God above with both hands. I even took Biffy to the vet. Yes, except what? Mungo entered the office carrying a silver tray with my rusty kettle and a chipped cup. Mungo set the tray down on my desk. He poured the tea sloppily and offered the cup to Lana. Oh, tea? Lana pulled back, touched the front of her dress as if he was accosting her. Yes, Mungo grunted. My tea is the best in Augusta. Mungo played it for joke, which it was. His tea was terrible. Possibly the worst in the world. But we had to make sure she wasn't lying about anything. Lana took the cup and actually drank the tea like a trooper. She pulled away and smiled at Mungo. Oh, she sounded as if she'd just had an orgasm for the first time in years. Mr. Mungo, I believe this is the best tea I've ever had. I looked at him incredulously. A huge grin crossed Mungo's face. He exited my office, walking on cloud nine. Lana's face never lit up. An orange hue never flushed her cheeks or dashed her forehead. She was telling the truth. What did the vet say, Lana? I was very curious now. He took some blood samples of Biffy, Lana said. A worried look crossed her face, even recounting this. Dr. Baker took me back in the waiting room and explained that before he became a vet, that he'd volunteered to help a renowned scientist in the field study of island mythology of magic. They discovered a certain fish in the Bahamas contained the same elements that can put a person in a deep coma. They witnessed drugged villagers walking around even after they'd been pronounced dead and been buried. Is that a fact? I was fascinated. I leaned in to hear more, rested my chin on my hands, my elbow on my desk. Dr. Baker said Biffy had that drug in his blood system. She finished with a scoff. Biffy had become a zombie dog. I had to contain my laughter. Okay, I said, biting my lips to keep from smiling. I'll look into it. My fee is, I was going to say, $3,000. Lana opened her purse and took out a thin roll of 20s. She tossed it on my desk. I have $200, she declared. I was none too pleased with the offer. She shrugged and said, I can pay more when my Social Security check comes in. I placed my head in my hand, then rubbed my forehead. No, Lana, that's fine. Go on about your daily business. Mungo and I will look into this. Oh, well, thank you, Miss Giles. She scuttled out of my shop, beaming. The front door slammed behind her. The bells chimed the same time a migraine hit me. Mungo appeared at my office door, his hands on his hips, disapproving. What? I asked. I was annoyed by Lana, him, and my impetuousness. We have rent coming up. I know we do, I screamed, jumped out of my chair. Come on, let's solve this thing this afternoon. We went to Lana's neighborhood at around 5 that afternoon. Lana wasn't home yet, which was good. I wanted to see if anyone was pushing those chicken feet through her mail slot. The idea came to me after Mungo and I surveyed the neighborhood. Not many houses there in the cul-de-sac. 9, to be exact. 4 on the left, 5 on the right. Lana lived at the end and was more than likely the first house built there. Mungo and I checked Lana's trash can. Yesterday was Sunday, so there wasn't any trash pickup the past 2 days. There they were, 2 chicken feet. 1 at the bottom of the bag, 1 on top of the bag. Just as I thought. Someone, possibly a neighbor, was given Lana the chicken feet when they noticed the previous ones were thrown away. Lana thought it kept appearing in her house, and the bad luck never went away. Mungo and I hung out in the front yard behind a magnolia tree. My allergies were acting up because the ragweed and pollen was everywhere. The dogwood was blooming, both white and pink flowers on trees across from each other, and her rose bushes were even growing. She had a nice yard. Made me wonder who kept it up for her. Her fence looked like it had a new coat of white paint, and the grass was freshly cut. We'd been there for an hour. Bored out of our minds, I sat down on the grass and laid my head against the magnolia tree. I sighed, closed my eyes. As I was drifting off, I thought about lying to Lana and taking her $200. What the hell? She'd never know if we took the bad luck curse off or not. Evelina! Mungo rattled me out of sleep. I quickly opened my eyes and saw his elongated finger pointing to the broken-down greenhouse across the street. I saw Lana's Pomeranian hustling across the street with a chicken foot hanging from his mouth. Biffy's tail wagged in rapid succession like a flag caught in a windstorm. Right behind him was a very large black man chasing after him. They both avoided an SUV barreling around the corner. The SUV blasted its horn, but neither man nor dog was thrown off their track. They raced to Lana's house. Biffy was ready to zip through the doggy door when the giant man cupped him in both hands. Biffy dropped the chicken foot and wiggled insanely in the man's grasp. The man couldn't hold on any longer, and Biffy leapt to the ground. He took off like a rocket and snatched up the chicken foot between his little teeth again. The man reached out for Biffy. Mungo was right there to defend the little dog with two body blows, sending the man backwards. Biffy zipped through the doggy door, growling at anyone who dared to take his proud position. Once inside the house, Biffy's machine gun bark told the strangers to leave his home at once. I rushed to the front door and tried to open it. Caught up in the moment, I forgot Lana would not leave the house without locking her door. I got on my hands and knees and opened the doggy door. I saw the chicken foot just inside the threshold. My small hand fit perfect in the square hole, but my jagged wrist was caught, and that little bastard Biffy started nipping at my fingers. Ow! I screamed. Stop that, you little punk! I wiggled my hand free, deterred by that growling, sniffling little cur. I turned my attention back to the fight to see the man was holding his own with Mungo. The man had delivered several punches to Mungo's face. Still, Mungo had fought his way back on top by letting the man rush him. Mungo picked the man up and body slammed him on the walkway. I heard a shrill voice shrieking for Mungo to stop. An elderly black lady was trotting away from that broken-down greenhouse, waving her arms hysterically. That's when I noticed something about the giant black man. He had no pupils in his eyes. Two milky black balls filled the white sockets. His face showed no expression, and no pain registered every time Mungo hit him. I'd seen it before in pictures in my books. The man was an island zombie. Mungo, I called. Stop! He was ready to curb the man. Mungo had lifted his leg high. When he heard my voice, his boot halted in midair, falling short of the man's chin. The elderly black lady came running up, huffing and puffing. "That's my son!" she barely managed, trying to catch her breath. Looked like your son was going to crush Biffy, I told the woman. He wouldn't hurt Biffy, I heard Lana say as she walked up in the yard. Biffy was in our yard again, Lana, the woman said. He stole something else. I don't know what he took. Anyway, Kyle was just trying to get it back. We were worried about Biffy. He took a chicken foot, I said flatly. As a matter of fact, Lana, Biffy has been stealing chicken feet from... I motioned toward the woman. Nell Smith, the woman answered. That's my son, Kyle. Why, Nell and I have been neighbors for 20 years. I remember the day Kyle moved in, only 5 years ago, and he's helped take care of my yard, house, as well as work nights. All this time, you were the one giving bad luck, Nell? Mrs. Smith, I chuckled, why don't you tell Lana why you have those chicken feet, okay? Kyle died 5 years ago, Nell said. Terrible car accident in New York. I went there to bury him when I saw a cousin of mine who practices this type of thing. I need the chicken feet to make the offering to the gods for keeping Kyle here on Earth with me. Oh, Nell, Lana said. Why didn't you tell me? We're such good friends. Lana hugged her. You can tell me anything. The man closed the diary. He made a face. Hogwash, he declared. No way could any of this be true. He wiped the cover with a hand and discovered the smudge on the last sentence was gone. He read out loud. Anyone who reads this diary may become violently ill. The man didn't have time to react. He dropped the diary and fell to his knees. His stomach bubbled up. He fell forward. His fedora fell to the ground. He screamed as vomit erupted from his gaping mouth. This went on for a few minutes until he noticed a pair of black flats attached to legs, attired in black tights. A young woman with honey-colored hair in a ponytail, wearing a white skirt and blouse, bent down and seized the diary. Thank you, she said. I'll take this off your hands.
Groupie confession. At first, I didn't want to go to the concert. I thought, oh geez, like, this is really weird. The seats were, like, urine-stained, pot smoke everywhere.
So to every
and this creepy guy in an overcoat kept staring at us and talking to himself in this chipmunk voice.
I say these words
but
to
Beth
you
wanted
tonight.
To go real bad, she said.
I am with
oh
you.
My God, wait till you hear him.
And I
sighed and rolled my eyes. Like, so what, you know? Like, he stepped on stage, and oh my God, there he was, long black hair, dark circles under his eyes, he looked sickly, and so hot. And like when he opened his mouth to sing, I thought I would have an orgasm right there.
Rigging in a rocking band, going down, party time, I'm going to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell, I'm on the highway to hell, I'm on the highway to hell, I'm on the highway, the byway, the highway to hell.
So, like, we had this idea that we would both give him a good time, right? But, well, Beth and me tried to go backstage, but we got kind of scared when we saw him screaming at an empty bucket of fried chicken.
I gotta get out of here! Episode 2, Hell Day. Your host was Dr. Mary von Rocksprocket, played by Lothar Tuppen. Your co-host was Miss Tiffany Teagarden, played by Sarah Light. Chester was played by Wesley Critchfield. Love Pavilion ad featured Audra Wolfman and Jerry Eliff. Groupie Confession featured Amy Poppy, Lothar Tuppen, and Tiny Tim performing Highway to Hell. Jack Ward's production of Deadline episode Fiend of the Old. Chickenfoot Blues was read by Jerry Eliff. Twisted Pulp Radio Hour, created by Lothar Tuppen and Mark Slade. Theme music by Tim Slade. End music by Chauncey Hayworth. Episode written by Mark Slade. Produced by Lothar Tuppen, Chauncey Hayworth, and Mark Slade. Directed by Mark Slade.
You've been listening to community-supported KKRN 88.5 FM. We are supported by listeners like you and brought to you by volunteers from the community. Are you ready to support your local community radio? To become a listener supporter, go to our website, kkrn.org, and click on the donate button or mail a check to P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. You can call 530-337-1101 to volunteer at KKRN Community Radio or to learn more about us.